are listening to the Generation Magazine's theme song. And right now, we're going to start off so that that way we got lots of things to be discussed tonight. Again, let me remind everyone of you out there, all our listeners, if you have any questions or what being discussed here, which is something to do with the foundation, if you have any questions, like maybe we have lots of relatives out there who are doing some dialysis or any kidney problems, I'm sure you're going to be learning something tonight. So call in 946-2845, 946-2846. If you have any question, no calls for any request for dedication or anything else besides what's being discussed. Okay? If you want to do that, we're going to stop you, and you call back around 8 o'clock, okay? But right now, here is our host and his guest.
Thank you, Ernie. How are you tonight?
You're welcome. I'm fine, my friend.
Yes, tonight we're talking about the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii, and we're going to over the last probably couple of weeks, I've been hearing about really about health issues and more specifically kidneys. And I was at a meeting yesterday at one of the ARP Chapter 60 lunches at Hale Koa. And Dr. Rita Bell Fernandez, who is the chair of nutrition and rights for the magazine, Generations Magazine, was talking about different health issues, what is normal aging, and she brought up the topic of kidneys. And I didn't realize how delicate kidneys are, and but also how important they are. And actually, because we're on Kenya, it affects a lot of the ethnic groups as well. And Filipino is one of the major groups that it affects. So today we have the National Kidney Foundation, Diana Pinard and Jeff Sizemore. Good evening, ma'am and sir.
Good evening. Hello. Thanks for having us this evening.
Yes, Jeff. Now, give us a little background for both of you. So we'll start with Diana. Give us a background on what you do over at the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii.
I'm the Director of Organizational Planning and Operations, and I've been with the Kidney Foundation for about 7 years. I'm also a kidney donor.
And oh, you are?
Good for you. I'm very proud to be one of them. And I have a wonderful relationship with all the people over there and all of our fabulous volunteers in the community that we serve.
Great. And Jeff?
I'm the Director of Planned Giving and Major Gifts. I just joined the organization about 4 months ago.
And your background, when you say planned giving, what is your background in that field?
Actually, both. I practiced law for 20 years on the mainland.
Wow.
And kept visiting Hawaii, and I liked it so much, I decided to change my career so I could move out here.
Well, that's great, because planned giving is going to be a part of the conversation tonight, because I think a lot of nonprofits, like National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii, is really at a time where it's such a good cause, but you know, as this economy is slowly, you know, plodding along, we still need to have those donations come in. But anyway, Diana, we're talking about kidneys, and like I said, only recently I found out the importance of kidneys, and really the correlation with all the other diseases that can come into play, with diabetes and heart issues.
Absolutely. A little bit of background yeah. About the kidneys and their function. They're a pair of bean-shaped organs that lie on either side of the spine in the lower middle of the back. And they each weigh about a quarter of a pound, and if you hold up your fists, they're usually about the size of your fist. So if you're a
quarter of a pound.
Yeah, they're small, but they are truly powerful. The main function of the kidneys is to remove waste products and excess water from your blood. And the kidneys process about 200 liters of blood every day and produce about 2 liters of urine. And the waste products that are generated from the normal metabolic processes include the breakdown of active tissues, ingested foods, and other substances. So the kidneys allow the consumption of food, drugs, vitamins, supplements without having harmful levels of a buildup in your system. And they also play a major role in regulating levels of various minerals such as calcium, sodium, and potassium in the blood.
So in a nutshell, it's very important.
It is indeed. And we as an organization, there are so many different types of problems that occur with kidneys, but the one that we really are most involved with is chronic kidney disease. Chronic kidney disease occurs when one suffers from gradual and usually permanent loss of kidney function over time. It can take months, it can take years. And the kidneys are just so resilient that sometimes you can go years and years with kidney disease and never know you have it. So they call it a silent killer. And we need to get tested, which is what the National Organization, the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii tries to do with, as an organization, get everybody tested.
You know, for someone as, for myself, I'm 51, I'm relatively healthy, a little overweight. I've never really thought about kidney being how important it is. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely important, and I realize that. But when we had talked earlier before we went on air, what causes kidney disease and how do we detect it?
Well, there are many causes of kidney disease, but the primary cause is type 1 diabetes and high blood pressure. If you have both, you are really at risk. If you are a family member, if you have a family member that has kidney disease, you're at higher risk.
Is it hereditary?
It absolutely is hereditary,
is it?
Yes.
Oh.
And there can also be caused by congenital defects. So those are the primaries.
So if, like, I went to my physician just recently, I was mentioning earlier, and he asked me some things. My father had just been diagnosed with diabetes, but I don't think it's on a major scale. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take insulin and things like that, but he's taking some medication. But so do you think I would be at risk then?
You might very well be at risk, and you should continue to be monitored closely. And there are things that you can do. And talking to you earlier, I guess that you're pursuing the nose, you're doing sports, and you're getting exercise, and you eat well. So those are the primary things to do to keep yourself healthy.
But I did want to mention to people that I do annual checkups, like I've been doing my annual checkup, blood work, everything for the last, since I was 41 or 42.
Yes.
But you had mentioned something I'm not aware of.
Yes. There are five stages of kidney disease, and we were instrumental in the islands in developing a way to check that using the GFR. The GFR is it stands for glomerular filtration rate, and it's a way of determining if you are, in fact, at risk. Now, there are many reasons why your GFR might be low, and it might not be kidney disease, but you really need to check it. It's just the opposite of cholesterol or something else where you're always trying to get your cholesterol down. Mm-hmm. With your GFR, you're always trying to get it up. So, but you would go, you would be tested for that. You'd have your serum creatinine tested, which is the protein in the urine, and those simple tests, which we do for free all over the islands at various times, are a simple way to find out if you have any
risk
factors.
Oh, they do the GFR?
The GFR,
they
right.
You guys do it for free?
Yes, we do. We do a complete screening. It's height, weight, body mass, blood, urine, and at the end of the screening and after the labs are completed, there'll be a physician or a nurse, a professional that you can sit and talk with to discuss the results, and then they'll make a recommendation, and they will either recommend that you come back in a year and get another free screening, or they'll send you to your physician and ask them to look into it.
Do you need to have health insurance for that?
No, we do it absolutely free, and
really?
That's why we get our donations from this wonderful community to help us do this work.
And so when's your next screening?
Our screenings, I think our next one is sometime this month. We have them on all the islands.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
and,
great.
If anyone would like to attend one, they should give us a call at 593-1515 or go to our website at kidneyhi.org, and all that information is online.
So you do it about monthly?
We do several a month. We do a number of different screenings. There are general screenings where you go out and you get a take-home test kit,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a tablet, and you check your urine at home, and then if there's an issue, you'd probably go to a full screening where they do the blood, the urine, and talk with a physician. Or you come to the fuller screening and do all of that. If you determine that you're in stages 1 through 3, we have a classes called Kiwi. You can sign up for those, and we'll teach you how to eat and what foods to buy and what things to stay away from. We'll take you out to the farms and show you which fruits and vegetables are healthy and which are not.
Cool.
And we'll also go to the grocery store and teach you how to read a can and show you what exercise you should be getting.
Jeez, I didn't realize you guys did all that.
Oh, we do as much as we can.
So if you're listening tonight on Generations Radio program here, we're talking about the issue of kidney disease for the National Foundation of National Kidney Foundation Hawaii. We'll take calls and questions for Diana and Jeff after 7:30. But the phone number is to call in if you want to write it down. It's 946-2845 or 946-2846. So it is something that's very important, and it's something that you need to check on, because one thing I realized tonight is that when I do my annual physical, I need to make sure that it's painless. It's just a blood test, right? Mm-hmm. That you have your GFR.
Right.
So you have to ask your doctor?
It's usually there now, but you should ask your doctor to confirm that it is on there and tell them that you want to be screened for it, and they will screen for it.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
And so you said you finally got Hawaii to do that. Was it not before?
In 2005, we needed a way to determine the risk factors for kidney disease, and that's where we came up with the 5 steps, 1 through 5. 1 through 3 are the early stages. When you reach stage 4, we call it falling off a cliff, and Jeff loves to tell this analogy, so I'll let him tell that one.
Yes, to help people understand exactly what it's like, you're not going to understand or feel anything wrong with you when you have the first stages. So a lot of people have a tendency not to give it a thought when they're younger or even middle age, mm-hmm. because they feel good. Mm-hmm. And the analogy I like to use is if you think of it as a disease, as you're traveling on a road, and the road is the progress toward more difficulties ahead in this disease. The road runs, it's like you're traveling along, but it ends at a cliff. But you can't see the cliff because you have no symptoms that you recognize.
Right.
So the GFR number is a little bit like telling you where on the road you are. Are you very at the beginning of your trip, mm-hmm. or are you very near the edge of the cliff? And the protein number tells you how fast you're going. So you could have a good GFR but have a bad protein number, and it means you're not near the end stage, but you're moving along pretty fast.
Hmm.
Or maybe more commonly, you could have a higher GFR, which actually indicates, or it's one of the indications that you are near the edge. And, of course, what we want to do is keep you on the trip longer. We don't want you to get to the point where you're at the cliff, because the cliff really is the dialysis and ultimately organ donation.
Okay. I just want to clarify that mm-hmm. a GFR reading higher than 130 is good. So we want a high
GFR.
You
want a high number. Oh,
and it's okay. The low, when the further down you go, the closer you are to the end of the cliff.
Ernie, have you done your GFR yet?
I do physical exam every year.
So it's something that, like you had mentioned to me earlier, I'm 51. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure my GFR figures above 130.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to make sure he checks for that, yeah?
Absolutely. And the serum creatinine. And the prevalence of chronic kidney disease, just to give you an idea, has increased by 16% from the previous decade. We believe the increasing incidence is due to increased diabetes, hypertension, which is high blood pressure, obesity, and the aging population. All these factors have contributed to this increase. If you have diabetes and you are of an older age, or if you have hypertension and you're of an older age, if you have both diabetes and hypertension, you really need to watch it.
Hmm.
And there's no cure for this disease, but you can slow it down.
Oh, you can. See, yeah. Alzheimer's, you cannot slow it down.
Yeah.
They have never been, crossword puzzles, things like that, they say, but there's no definitive answer. But I didn't realize for kidney.
Right. So the reason for getting screened is to find out you may have a problem so you can make the life choices you want to make to slow it down, and maybe you'll never get to the point where it's a real problem for you.
And that would be in the first 3 stages. Once you get into dialysis, there's no slowing it down. You have to have the treatment.
So once you're on dialysis, do you ever get off the dialysis?
There are two major treatments. There's actually, let me tell you a little bit about dialysis. There are two types of treatment on dialysis, and that's the hemodialysis, which is ordinarily done in one of the clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is peritoneal dialysis, which can be done in the home. So you have to decide what's best for you. A lot of times children will do the dialysis in the home. if you discover that you have serious symptoms and you end up on dialysis, then your only treatment to get off dialysis would be a transplant.
That's the only way.
That's really the only way. Now, there are people who live on dialysis for years and years, and for various reasons, they never are a match to get a life-saving transplant. But the people that are transplant recipients, and we have some wonderful stories of those, they're part of our Team Hawaii group. They go, they get the new organ, and within 6 months to a year, they're able to go to the games, the transplant games. And this year, they were suspended due to economic conditions, but we've been doing them for about 18 years, I believe, up until this year, every other year. We have a group from Hawaii. They go to the games. It's a national group. They get together all over the country, mm-hmm. and there are thousands of people that attend. The people that attend are either transplant recipients, and they are involved in bowling, swimming, tennis, golf, short put, you name it, running. There's all kinds of games for them. And then there are their donors who are there as well, and the families of people who have made cadaveric donations, so that these people could live and given them a second chance at life, attend the games also. We have a large group that attend, usually about 22 to 30 people go from Hawaii, and they all have wonderful stories. Some of them have been on dialysis for 6 or 7 years, and then they got the transplant, and now they've resumed their life as they know it. Other people have received kidneys from strangers, mm-hmm. out of the blue, had no idea because they couldn't be matched. They're just a number of wonderful stories that are told.
Have you ever brought those games to Hawaii?
No, unfortunately. We really would love to do that, but they actually get together and raise their own funds to attend. And, of course, it's very expensive.
This is the first I've heard
to
of that.
Seriously? Yes. Well, I have fallen down on that job. We've got to do better.
Well, that's why we're doing this, right? I'm, you know, Special Olympics, people go away. They're
right.
Different,
but it's very similar. It's an Olympic-style game, yes.
Oh, good. So what are some of the... You know, we talk about Filipinos, Hawaiians being very high on that list of people getting the disease. Is it? And you had mentioned, Jeff, earlier that it's not. Well, it is hereditary, but there's really no studies yet. Finally, that tell why is it the culture?
Kidney disease is more common among the elderly. 60 years of age, I believe, is 39.4% of the population. Hispanic, African American, Asian or Pacific Islander, and Native American people, or anyone that has a family member with kidney disease. And the reason that we don't know about why some groups are more at risk is being studied all the time, but we don't have those answers.
That's interesting. Of all the technology we have today, well, it's like Alzheimer's, same thing. There's no really detection. So what are some of the things that listeners should be looking for? Like I said, what should I be looking for? My father has been diagnosed recently.
Absolutely. If you're really moving along at a fast pace, There are so many functions that the kidneys have. But if you look at the need to urinate frequently, especially at night, swelling of the legs, puffiness around the eyes for fluid retention, high blood pressure, fatigue and weakness, loss of appetite, nausea and vomiting, itching, easy bruising, shortness of breath, headaches, numbness in the hands or feet, disturbed sleep, chest pain due to pericarditis, which is the inflammation around the heart, all of those things are indicators. So if you have a lot of those things, or if you happen to be pregnant and you have some of these issues, you should really have it checked out.
Ernie, you got any of these? You don't have any of these, I don't think. Hopefully, Ernie's pretty healthy there. But so specific populations, it's, you know... I'm just looking at this list here of Hispanics, African American, Asian Pacific Islander, and Filipinos, Ernie. It's very high on the list.
Well, you know, our diet
is it the diet?
Heredity is part of it, yeah. and diet is certainly part of it.
That's a problem, but not kidney.
Okay.
In American Samoa and Guam, we have the highest incidence of diabetes, I believe, in the world. I was told recently, and I have not studied these numbers, but they said that anyone over the age of 5, basically, in American Samoa has diabetes, which means there's a very large population that's going to have kidney disease. Guam is similar to that, and we're coming along fast, so we really have to be careful. Hmm. And this is increasing every year.
Hmm. That's interesting. So if you have any questions about kidney disease or National Kidney Foundation Hawaii, give us a call. We're at 946-2845 or 946-2846 because it's something that your friends, your neighbors might have it and they don't even know that. They may not go to the doctor very often. I noticed that with a lot of our senior clients. They might only go once a year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple clients in the 60s never did a colonoscopy. So that amazes me because you should do it by what 50, I think, right?
Right.
So it's something that we gotta really encourage people to do. So, of course, healthy living. But what are the things to prevent once you diagnose, or just so you don't get it, like myself?
Well, that's what our Kiwi trains you if you're in the early stages. But if you don't have it, it's normal healthy eating habits. Take care of yourself. It's the same thing that everyone is preaching. Mm-hmm. We need to go out and get educated about what foods are going to keep us healthy. Drink plenty of water. Get your exercise. Stay away from fatty foods. Stay away from salty foods. Stay away from prepackaged foods. And you have a very good shot at keeping healthy kidneys.
Hmm. Okay. And so the Kiwi program. So once you're diagnosed, then let's say they go to one of your screenings and they find early detection. Is there a thing like early detection for pre-diabetes or pre-kidney disease?
Pre-kidney disease, again, if your GFR level is below, or rather, yes, is over under 130, then you might have stage 1. And I don't want to scare people with this because you can be really healthy and your GFR levels can be elevated for other reasons. Runners, for example, mm-hmm. have a tendency to have different lower GFR. But the idea is be aware of where you are with your own health. Keep track of it. Know how you feel. Know if there are changes and get regular checkups. It's much better to be healthy and get that regular checkup than it is to all of a sudden find out you have a serious problem and not be able to reverse it. Chronic mm-hmm. kidney disease is not curable. You will end up on dialysis or needing a transplant if you get to stage 4 or 5.
So if you're diagnosed on 1 and 2, you better stay away from
yeah.
3 because next yeah. step is 4. Huh?
That's right.
That's what we try to say. I know a lot of people who get to stage 3 and they change their diet and they change their lifestyle, and those choices really help. There's one gentleman who had decided that he was not going to take dialysis. He'd found out he was at stage 3. He just decided, I am not going to go on dialysis. I don't care if I die. I don't care what happens. And then he looked at the fact that he was, if he didn't change his lifestyle, if he didn't do the things that were healthy for him, he would die. If he wouldn't go on dialysis, he would die. That CKD is irreversible, and that made him change his entire lifestyle. And now he's a runner, and he's, out there walking 5 miles a day. He's leading a wonderful lifestyle, and he's healthier. He feels better. His family's healthier. It's just a great outcome.
Yeah, that's something that I have a couple of friends of mine that were diagnosed early on, and they changed their life like mm-hmm. that. And I mean, yeah. when you get pretty much, the doctor said you better do something or something.
Right.
Bad, so.
And it's a choice. Smoking, mm-hmm. too, that affects your kidneys. There's just so many things, and everybody knows what needs to be done. Getting yourself to do it is the issue.
I'm just amazed for your kidneys, 2 of them and lower by your back, mm-hmm. less than a pound. It's so vital. Or for an organ, it's kind of a delicate organ, isn't it?
Well, you would think so, but really it's pretty tough. And a lot of people live with just one, and people who get the transplant live many years. I know people who've been on dialysis for over 30 years. They do wonderfully well.
Over 30 years?
Over 30 years. And it's a lifestyle. I know a lot of people that are on dialysis that have wonderful lives, too. So mm-hmm. if you do have kidney disease and you are on dialysis, I hope you're, you know, having a great time and you're making the most of your life.
Well, I definitely noticed, I don't know about you, Ernie, but I definitely noticed more kidney dialysis facilities around the island popping up.
There are over 3,000 people on dialysis right now.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. And uh-huh. there are about 500,000 that have had kidney transplants and or are on dialysis nationwide. There are 26 million in the country that have kidney disease.
Really? And how many in Hawaii, I don't know if you know this figure, how many have had transplants in Hawaii?
I don't know the number of transplants, but there are always about 400 people on the waiting list for an organ. 90% of those are kidneys. So there's a huge need at any given time. And I don't know in Hawaii. I'm sorry, I don't have that figure.
So if somebody wants a kidney, how do they get it? And how do they, somebody has to donate it? But they have to match the blood cell?
There are a number of things that have to be matched, the blood chemistry, and there are 5 points before a match can be made. And it's a large process before you can donate.
Well, I know, especially in the Filipino community, we see a lot of that.
Yes, and we have... we have living donors, obviously, that are just altruistic, or their family members, or their friends. One of our Team Hawaii members, as a matter of fact, was a donor, and he worked in a restaurant, and he had a client that came in on a regular basis, and he hadn't seen him for a while. A few weeks later, he came in and sat in his booth, and he just looked terrible. He asked him what was wrong. He said, "Oh, I have kidney issues, and I'm looking," and he said, "Well, what do you do to fight that?" He said, "I need to find a donor." And the gentleman said, "Well, I'll donate." And so he went out and he got tested and he gave him his kidney. And
really?
And they've been to the games and they're doing wonderfully. And
here in Hawaii, this happens.
Here in Hawaii,
wow.
It's actually not an uncommon story. This is it's a remarkable state.
We find people, family members donate, but that
very
this is
often.
Unusual where you say somebody. Your waiter.
Well, it happens. And then there are people who just donate and they just, make a donation and say, anyone that needs it, just find someone that's a match with me and they can have my kidney. And you'd be surprised how often that happens right here in Hawaii.
And you can live a pretty healthy life with only one kidney?
Yeah, very healthy life.
So you have to live a... Well, you must have to live a very healthy life because we only have one kidney.
Well, as I said, the kidneys are pretty resilient, but you should take care of yourself whether you have two or one.
Right, absolutely.
So.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard that story, but it's a great. That's the kind of story you want to hear.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand it. Like I said, I'm 51, middle age. I guess you can call me middle age, and I really don't think about this, but it when Jeff told me earlier that says, you could be skinny and still get it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's a perception that you have to be overweight and not be feeling well before you're going to think that you might have a kidney problem, but that's not the case. The kidneys are related to other organs inside the body. I mean, the kidneys are filtering the blood and getting the toxins mm-hmm. out of your system. So you can have other issues. You can have heart issue and then have a kidney failure. My own brother had diabetes, but when he died of kidney failure about a decade ago. He happened to be overweight, but you don't have to be. And sometimes because kidney disease is it's a silent killer in the early stages, you could have kidney problem and it's not really being followed closely because you also have another health problem like a heart problem, something like that, and they're really concentrating on the heart problem. So it's called comorbidity. It's basically you have two problems. One of them is very obvious, the other one may not be so obvious.
This is an interesting topic. I know people are probably sitting back listening to the radio like, oh, I didn't know that. and they probably, hopefully they go out and get themselves tested or call the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii. Can you give us that number again? We'll give it a little bit later on, but if people want to write it down now.
Absolutely. It's 593-1515.
And they can actually go to your website as well, right?
Absolutely. That's at kidneyhi.org.
All one word?
All one word. Okay. Kidney High.
And now, the foundation, which is located in right in town on King Street in the First City State Bank building. So what all do you folks have over there to do? Because I've been to your office. It's a big office. What are the different programs you folks do? I mean, everybody knows the kidney cars. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But
sure. We have a number of different programs. We have education and prevention programs where we go out into the community. We have Sydney Kidney. Everyone's seen Sydney Kidney.
Sydney Kidney.
The big orange gentleman that goes around and talks to children and goes into the schools and shows up on TV in World Kidney Day.
Oh.
And he's very much a part of our education program. We have all the early detection programs and screenings that I spoke about earlier. There's actually three separate early detection programs, and then the follow-up programs to that, which is the Kiwi program, where you go out to the farms, you learn to eat, you have a dietitian come in and answer all your questions over the course of a four-week training program. We also have, along with that, chefs come in, because people think, oh no, I've got to give up this, I've got to give up that. We have a special cookbook that's a kidney cookbook that has kidney healthy recipes that we developed in-house with the help of these nutritionists and dietitians. And everyone at the Kidney Foundation had to go home and do five recipes. And if we didn't like them, we pulled them. So it's really good food. So
Do you do this program at your office, or do you go out?
We often do it at our office. Sometimes we go out to KCC. We go various places. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the state. We have offices in Hilo, Maui, and here in Hawaii, Oahu. So mm-hmm. we're serving the full community, and we also go out into Molokai and Lanai and do screenings. We'll be in Molokai in February, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Good.
So we do those, and then we have support services, support groups for people who are on dialysis or family members that are having a hard time. Some people, of course, are much more ill than others, and the caretakers have a really difficult time, as you're aware. So we try to give support to them, and we have a mentoring program.
Oh, really?
So if you're new to kidney disease and you're scared to death and you want to talk to somebody that's been through it, we can hook you up with somebody there. That person can answer your questions, partner with you, just be an ear, someone to lean on if you'd like to do that as well. And, of course, we work with medical professionals, and we try to keep everyone up to date on the training. We do conferences at least every 2 years, and sometimes every year, where we bring in professionals and make sure that all the training in the kidney area is up to date.
Hmm. And you guys have like monthly or weekly support group meetings around the island?
At many of the dialysis clinics, and then some of the support groups spin off. They have their own meetings, and some of them come to our office, and other times they'll do them with Liberty or with Fresenius, but we're all part and parcel of that and work together.
Yeah, I've noticed a number of different companies opening up around town for kidney dialysis. Do you have an idea how many people have kidney disease in Hawaii?
Yes, there are 156,000 that we know that have kidney disease. There's another 100,000 that are at risk. There are 3,000 people on dialysis any given moment, and there's about 400 people on the waiting list for a transplant.
Okay, back up. You said 150,000?
156,000.
Wow. I was going to say maybe 25,000,
30,000. No, we wish. Huh. We wish that were the case.
If you were to take those numbers, that 156,000 that have the disease, and then the other 100,000 or so that are at risk, and add them together, you have about 1 in 5 people in Hawaii. So you think about 20% of the population either has the disease or is at risk. It's a pretty large number, a big problem.
Wow.
In fact, Hawaii's rate of kidney disease is higher than any other state in the country.
30% higher.
Really?
Yeah, it's
30%
a big
higher. So we're number one, way above it.
Yeah, we didn't really want to be number one in that area, but we did have that distinction.
Well, we got to help you, and for you, folks of you that read Generations Magazine, there, Jeff's a contributing writer, and thank you very much. But, yeah, let's go into that area. I mean, all the nonprofits today, like I said, a friend of mine was at Aloha United Way, and, you know, we go 2 weeks ago, they laid off people. I just found out that owns several state stations here, laying off people. Nonprofits are struggling today. So Jeff, you were brought in. Did you have background in planned giving or that area of expertise?
I have two backgrounds that are useful in this area. As an attorney for 20 years, one of the things I did was estate planning. So I have a lot of experience in that area. And then when I came to Hawaii in order to make the switch, I didn't want to practice law anymore. And I became involved in the financial services industry, and I was involved with, in fact, I was the, until 4 months ago, I was the disability income and the long-term care specialist for a major life insurance company's office in this state. And so all of these things are either health-related or they're estate planning-related, and a lot of the things I do as a planned giving expert is related to those topics.
When people say planned giving, basically is donating money, essentially.
Well, for a lot of people, that's probably what they think. But planned giving is not about writing a check and sending it in the mail. It's really about relationships with people who want to be involved in our organization. You know, there are a lot of great people in this state who are give back to the community, and what we do, or what I do in particular, is I help them with some strategies where if they want to do this, they can not only give a charitable bequest of some kind or a gift of some kind, but they can also help their family in the process. There are strategies to use that actually help your family.
A lot of people don't understand that. I mean, you say, yeah, they write a check, you know, United Way, blah, 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 some donation, you know, $500, $10, $1,000 one time. So there's a big difference between that and really planning out giving over a lifetime possibly, or actually through the financial tools, they can use it to help the family.
That's correct.
That's something that I think, you know, I got involved with that a few years ago through a nonprofit as well, and I never thought, being in the financial mortgage world for myself, I didn't really realize that you could do that. And it's probably what a lot of people are probably thinking about that. Yeah.
Yes, let me give you a simple example. Let's say you are over 70 and a half years old, and you have some IRAs, and if you have enough money to take care of your family, and you might want to make a gift to the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii or another charity of your choice, you could write that check. But if you write that check, you are really writing it out of after-tax dollars, because you had to earn the money somewhere, and you pay taxes on it before you wrote the check. But for a limited time until the end of the year, and longer if the government extends it, but as far as I know, at last I heard they hadn't extended it yet. If you're over 70 and a half years old, you could make the donation, write the same check out of your IRA, and that's being, you're basically making the donation with pre-tax dollars, because you had a tax deduction when you opened it up years ago and put the money in. And you're also benefiting by using the IRA, because if you're over 70 and a half years old, you would normally have to take some money out. It would increase your income. It's your required minimum distribution, your RMD. Well, if you give it to the charity, it doesn't increase your income, so you don't have to pay extra taxes.
For a lot of people that are not aware of that, hopefully they have an IRA. They should be aware that at 70 and a half years of age, they're required to take out a certain amount.
If it's a traditional IRA, that's right.
What about a Roth IRA?
Roth would be a different kind of instrument, because that's funded with after-tax dollars. So it's not going to be the same strategy.
And so the other gift-giving that's very, very commonplace, what we hopefully will see more in this, is what's called a major gift. When you talk about major gifts, you talk about deeding property or life insurance, or what are you?
You know, you can do it a number of different ways, and every family is different. The idea of a major gift would really be something a little more significant than writing a check. that you might normally do fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. And you could do it by changing a beneficiary on your life insurance policy so that the National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii was a beneficiary. So you'd basically be using the policy your whole life, and only upon your passing would there be a transfer. You could also set it up so your will left a house or left some other kinds of property. You can also have a beneficiary on your IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the goal when I work with people is to help them help themselves and their families, to make sure that when they're doing something, they're doing it in a way that's good for them, good for their families, and then also honors their request for charitable giving.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just, I guess my job is to know the benefits of doing it certain ways and to help explain it. And then I work with their advisors. You know, I don't give tax advice. I don't give legal advice. I don't give investment advice. What I do is I work with them as to what they'd like to do, and then we work with their attorney and their tax advisors, their CPAs, people like that.
And so do you think, all these plans or techniques, plans or services techniques, really can come into play for any kind of a nonprofit foundation, right?
Well, there are some distinctions. Some of them can go for probably any charity, but the IRA example I gave you before has to be a public charity. Can't be a private foundation, for example.
Oh, I see that. So that's a big difference.
Yeah, you can't just do this without talking to someone, and that's why they should give me a call if they're interested in doing it.
And so, and the people that come to you, is it because maybe they had a family member that you helped out, or they want to help the community in general?
Very often people who make generous donations are people who have had some experience in the family, but not always. Sometimes people just want to give back. Maybe they're very wealthy and their family's set, or maybe they don't have family. They just want to leave the charity. Hmm. So we recently had one where a woman left, I think it was 6 different bequests to different charities.
I work with seniors as well, and I definitely see more and more of donations. I think Hawaii is very, very much in a giving mood, and just they want to help out the community. But you got involved because of your brother, is that correct?
Yes, my brother had diabetes. He was had some health issues most of his life, and in the last days, he also had kidney failure, and that was the clinching problem.
No, but then you had an issue.
No, not kidneys. I had a I had a heart attack end of March this past
year. I can't believe that. Technology is fantastic.
It is wonderful, and I had triple bypass surgery.
Are you kidding me?
In the end of March this year.
I met you earlier this year, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And you had it after I met you. Wow.
Yeah, and I've lost, somewhere close to 30 pounds in a period of time. But, you know, my GFR, on the other hand, is very good.
But were you at risk earlier with kidney?
No, not for kidneys, not to my knowledge.
And you're back working.
Oh, yeah, I've been back to work.
Well, we stole him away from what he was doing before. Now he wants to give back to the community.
Right. The National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii, I've known the people there, and I've volunteered for a number of years. Uh-huh. And they kept asking me if I'd be interested in making a career move, and I sort of hemmed and hawed a little bit, but then after the heart attack, I decided, okay, that's the kind of event that even when you recover well, you still want to evaluate what you're doing in your life, and then this time I said yes, and it's terrific. I'm having a great time doing it.
Yeah, a friend of mine I just met recently moved back from the mainland. She has family here. She grew up on the mainland, and she was retired, moved to Hawaii, so I had some family here, and after discussion, she realized that there's more to life than just work, and she's looking for something else.
Right.
And I tell all my clients, at some point in life, you got to realize working every day is great, support your family is ever great, but you know, it comes down to quality of life. You know, when I got involved with the magazine, that was one of the things that I really got passionate about, was about providing information like you folks, so thank mm-hmm. you very much. So when it comes to plan giving, do you see an increase, decrease? I mean, are you talking to more people, or What's the pulse on that side of the market?
Well, nationally, giving dropped probably 2008 when the economy was down. However, more recently, it started to rise again. Mm-hmm. Locally, for our organization, we've done quite well. Mm. We've been very fortunate, been blessed by people who are working with us and donating. And
of course, they give in many ways to the organization. Our cars program does very well, and people continue to donate the cars. And
yeah, how does that work, by the way?
Well,
when I first met you, Diana, I didn't know a whole lot about National Kidney Foundation. I apologize, but all I knew was the kidney cars.
Absolutely.
And your current commercials are still running.
Yes, they are. And as a matter of fact, we're in the middle of a sweepstakes right now through November 30th. If anybody is planning on donating a car, it doesn't have to be running. If it is running, it's even better.
Well, it doesn't have to be running?
It does not. We will come out and we will pick it up and we will haul it away. And if you itemize on your taxes, you'll get a minimum of a $500 return. And if the car sells for more than
that... You'll tow the car away?
We will tow the car away. We will. All we need is a signed title. They can go online and fill out the paperwork. We can facture the form, so you can come on down to the office and do it in one stop.
So the car... reason why I have some clients that... I call them dead cars. They've been in the yard. Grass is growing over the tires. Been there for 10 years. And
just
my son was going to move it, but it's been 10 years. And now what I do? I have to call a tow truck. What? That's amazing.
Now you just call us, and we'll take care of it for you.
How do you guys do that?
Well, we deal with a large number of vehicles, and we have scrap dealers. Mm-hmm. We deal with used cars dealers, and they go to a sale, and they're sold at auction. We take a lot of cars. You don't make a lot on all of them, but over the long haul, we do very well, and people are very generous. As a matter of fact, this year, a lovely woman lost her son to kidney disease, and she donated a 2011 van to us. Now, there are others that are planters.
Is that the one Jeff's driving?
No, I'm afraid not. That one's being used to transport some of our programs.
She donated a 2011?
Yes.
Wow.
It was a remarkable gift. And then other times they are planters. They've been sitting out in the back, and one very old vehicle had a palm tree growing out of it. But we went and got it and hauled it away for them.
That's a good one. I always call them dead cars. I call them planters.
They just call them planters. And, of course, then we have our clothes program and our recycling program and our charity miles. If someone has Hawaiian miles and they don't know what to do with them, they can donate them to us, and that can go to help us provide programs on other islands, or we can assist with dialysis patients or people that are getting a transplant to bring them between the islands.
Oh, I see.
So there are so many ways to give, and people do.
So how do you donate? So let's say I donate a 2005 Toyota car, is valued Blue Book, maybe $8,000. How do you do it on a tax-wise?
Unfortunately, it used to be that you would get the Blue Book, but they changed the tax law on that in 2005, and now it's whatever it sells for at auction. So if it sells for $8,000, if it's worth $8,000, we would probably put an upset bid on it so it couldn't go too low, but it really is what it sells for, and that's a little bit out of our control.
Sure.
But we do very well, and I can tell you that kidney cars bring a better price.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. How many cars do you get a year? Do you have that ballpark?
I think we get, during the regular season, about five cars a day. During the busy season, we might
a day?
Get a day. but during the busy season, we might get 20.
A
but
day?
A lot of them are scrap, understand.
Well, yeah, but still, yeah.
But still, it's...
Well, your commercials work.
Well, yes, and people are looking for ease of disposal for the most part, and that's what we try to give them, an easy way to donate their car.
Wow. So if you have a planter or a dead car in your yard...
Or a
really beautiful one.
Well, what we kind take of, them all.
And what kind of... You said you're giving away... You're having a... Sweepstakes,
yes. Vacations Hawaii.
Oh, Kevin Sonichiro.
Yes, isn't he darling? He's very graciously donated a 5-night stay at the California Hotel with the airfare and the food and the whole package. So anyone who has donated between September 1st and November 30th will be entered to win.
Wow. And if you don't know, and if the listeners out there, if you don't know, they actually have the new wide-body plane now.
It's wonderful. I've been on it.
Oh,
it's
you have?
Great. Oh, yes. It's really remarkably nice. And, yeah, I think they'll just enjoy it. They should really come in and do something. If you have anything sitting around that you're thinking about trading in before the end of the year, do it before November 30th.
Before November 30th, okay.
Okay.
I remember that. What about clothes? How do you do the clothes?
You can drop off the clothes. We have a number of attendant stations, and those are also online. Or you can call 593-1515, and you can talk to somebody. If you happen to be moving or you just want to do a big cleaning, we would actually come out to your house and pick up the clothes. We're in various neighborhoods all the time. Every few weeks we're in a neighborhood. So
we got to put that in a magazine.
Yeah, we should do
that. If we haven't done it already.
We should do that.
That's news to me.
Oh, no, we're always out there. You don't get our little yellow card in the mail?
You know, I'm colorblind, so that might be the reason why.
And we pick up recyclables, too. So if you have Hawaii Fives and you want to donate them, we would love to take those as well.
Oh, great. Wow. I'm learning a lot of new things here. Well, the reason why I work with a lot of seniors and they have leftover things.
Absolutely. And we would be delighted to arrange if they have a lot that needs to be picked up so that they don't have to move it. Call us. We'll come in. We'll help them move it. Or they can put it outside on the stoop. Give us a call. Let us know it's there. But we have to be in the area, obviously.
Sure.
And we have the route. So the best thing is to call.
Okay.
593-1515.
Yeah, well, next week, Thursday night, we're going to be talking about decluttering your home.
Oh, wonderful.
Transitioning from a big house to a smaller house.
Great.
So that might be something you might want to call in next week and say, Percy, tell your listeners, don't forget,
we'll
pick up your cars, including your planter cars.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding. We're going to talk about decluttering next Thursday night, relocating and just transitioning from a big house to a small house or a big house to a condo. I had several clients do that over the years, and more, I'm finding more and more people are doing that. I had a client that went from a $1.6 million home in Portlock to a couple streets away.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted one floor and a smaller, nice home. So it's something I'm sure they had things out there in the home, but that's something that I like your kidney cars, but I think all these other programs are fantastic. Jeff, how does one approach, since the holiday season is coming up, and I always tell families this is a good time to talk to your parents or your kids about their stage in their life, whether they want, I always tell them, what do you want to be remembered for, what makes you happy, your church, your school, the Kidney Foundation, and giving back is so much rewarding, and you must have a good feel on that. How do you approach that with a parent or your children?
That can be, in some families, very easy because they just communicate a lot between the generations. Mm-hmm. And you can have just the opposite where they don't. I know in my family, my parents are still living and they're in their 90s. And they always were of the view that money issues and anything like that was their private business. It was never discussed.
Sure.
In my case, I ended up being a lawyer before they would discuss it with me. And then I did all the planning for them. So I think the thing to do is just broach the topic.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can also talk in terms of what you're thinking of doing for yourselves and then get their advice. It opens up the conversation. So if I go to my father and I say, Dad, I'm thinking about doing this and that with my IRA. You have one or you had one. What do you think of that idea? And you get the conversation talking about money. You can do it that way.
There's also a wills planner that we have available.
Oh.
And if anyone would like that, it's a nice way for people just to gather their thoughts and start thinking about it without actually having to start a conversation. And you can order that as well from us. You can email Jeff at jeff@kidneyhi.org, and he'll mail that out to you.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
when you say wills planner, it's not a will.
No, it's a 16-page booklet that discusses the kind of fact gathering you would normally have if you were going to do a will or a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really designed to allow you to focus your thoughts on the topic. And by going through each of the pages, it directs you in the kinds of things you'd want to think about. And then what it's designed to do is you can take that to your attorney, and you've already gathered a lot of the information. and you've been able to do it to help the attorney understand what's going on. And of course, the attorney would draft the will or the trust.
Hmm. And so we're talking about planned giving. Now, does this the other area that I know familiar with is charitable remainder trust. Would a planned giving be part of that charitable remainder trust?
That's one of the tools you could have, a remainder trust or a lead trust. Mm-hmm. There are really many, many kinds of trusts. And I actually work with attorneys and CPAs in the state because these things are really kind of complicated.
Sure.
And if you know it, of course it's not complicated, but for the average person who's never talked about it, they wouldn't really know. So the idea is to sit down and talk about what they're doing, get their thoughts in the will planner, and then an expert, their attorney, could look at it. I could help them with it. Their CPA could look at it and get some ideas as to what they might want to do. And you know, they know in their heart whether they want to do a charitable kind of thing, and they just don't know the technique.
Mm.
And so we want to be able to work with their advisors to help them do that.
And it's not something they're going to do overnight anyway.
No.
No, and if the children want to start the conversation, they can go to our website, and there's a place on there where you can actually go in and fill out information and see the ideas that are available without having to talk to anybody at all.
What do you mean by ideas and different scenarios or what you can do?
Yes, we have on our site, we have a secure portion of the site called Your Account, and you can open it up and you can put in basic data, and then you can give a trial run on some of these different ideas to see what the results are.
Oh.
And it helps, and there's a lot of articles on how they work, so there's a lot of information there that you can just use to kind of get up to speed before you even talk to your advisor.
And there's also a weekly newsletter that's available on the site to help you with your finances. One of the things that happens with kidney disease is that somebody loses a job very often, or at least has to cut back because they're on dialysis 3 days a week from 3 to 5 hours a day, and they just don't feel well. So part of what we want to do is make sure that everyone has their budgeting in order and has their estate in order so that should something happen, whether it's kidney disease, whether it's heart disease, it doesn't matter what it is. Get everything in order so if something happens, you're prepared. And so we've taken that step, and Jeff is the biggest and most recent part of that step to help us help others.
In part of the mentoring program, I'm asked to come in and to give a talk. It's usually about an hour, hour and a half, about financial issues related to illnesses and how you can prepare yourself in advance for that.
Well, that might be one of your topics for your next column. For those of you who don't know, that Speak of Generations magazine, Jeff is going to be writing for us for every other month now. But that might be something that really people don't think about, those kind of things.
No, yeah. They don't.
You know, I had a friend of mine, unfortunately, his sister passed away recently. And it was very recent, like about a week ago. And we found out that the mother who passed away paid off the mortgage for them. So the kids wouldn't have any worry.
Oh, that's so kind.
And the day the mother received a statement that the mortgage was paid off, she died that afternoon.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's something that people got to start thinking about, and I'm glad. I mean, I'm sure the kids are happy for that, but it was something that I don't think people planned enough.
You know, that's kind of a recurring theme for all of what we're talking about, whether it's your health or whether it's the planning. It's much better to do it before you have a problem, because you have all the solutions are there in front of you. You can talk about it at a time when it's not an emotional or a family crisis. And then you're making the decisions instead of someone else making the decisions for you.
Yeah, well, we always try to be help people be proactive, and that's really what we try to do with the magazine, is try to give information, resourceful information. So thank you very much, Diana, and Jeff.
Thank you for having us.
And if you're around town or if you want to give them a call, or Diana, again, the number is
593-1515.
And the website address again?
www.kidneyhi.org. That's kidneyhi.org.
Great. And Jeff, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your next call. I'm not too sure what you're going to be writing about, but I'm looking forward to that. Or did you send it to me? Because the next issue in December.
Sorry, you already have it.
Okay, I got it. Because I was today. We were, for those of you all who get to pick up the magazine, the best way, the best place to pick up the magazine is at every library over here on Oahu has a magazine. If you go to generations808.com, you'll see a list on our distribution list of all the places that we do distribute it. Because it's not in your normal places on the street. You'll see it at senior clubs, senior centers, all your doctor offices get them, all the hospitals, all the retirement communities get them. But the libraries, Big City Diner, thanks to them. Vacations Hawaii, by the way, I always go there and it's always gone. They take our magazine, so Vacations Hawaii, when you go sign up there. And go visit Kevin over there because they have a new wide body plane, which I'm going to be taking, I think, in February myself.
Congratulations, you know, have fun.
Yeah. But, so, for more information, go to generations808.com or wait for the December issue. Our Governor Abercrombie will be on the cover, and I know he loves seniors. I was with him today at a photo shoot for that, and I know he's going to protect our seniors, and we're looking for a great article for that. So, Ernie Bautista, thank you very much. We'll see you next Tuesday. And again, this is Generations Radio Show. If you want to give us a call, you can call me at 368-6747. Again, that's 368-6747. Or if you want to email us, it's Percy, P-E-R-C-Y, at generations808.com. And I always tell people, live well. But Ernie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It sure is good to have you guys this evening. I noticed that you guys encourage monetary donations and used cars and used clothes.
And they'll pick it up.
And they'll pick it up, and because the funds that's being used here is for the National Foundation, National Kidney Foundation.
Correct.
Since this is a national foundation, do you folks are getting any national federal funding at all?
No, we actually help the National Foundation with their research costs. And that's where some of the funds that go. But if you donate to Hawaii and you want, it's restricted to Hawaii, it stays in Hawaii.
And we're not federally funded at all.
Right.
One thing that I noticed that, but, when I know someone that's very close to me that died, he was a roofer. In fact, he was my brother.
Oh.
And this is some time back. And before he passed, before his passing, they asked him. I mean, they asked the family if he will donate his kidney to somebody else.
Yes.
You guys don't do any of those things. You guys more interested in getting funds.
Yeah, no.
That's a different.
That's a very big part of what we do.
Is that what a big part to do?
Yes.
The donation of kidney?
Yes, we are always trying to promote kidney donation because 90% of the 400 people on the organ donation list that need organs are with. Need kidneys. So we have a living organ donor group. We have the Hawaii Donor Family Council, which is a group that helps people who've lost their loved ones that have donated those organs. We will be having, last year we had a quilted memory show where we brought the quilts that each patch is a part of the story about the person who's donated. And we had 12 of those quilts.
How do you qualify people? Are they in line or because they match? Are they in line? How do I get the priority that I will be getting the next one if I'm waiting?
There's a national organization called UNOS, and they have a list, a very specific list, of how these organs are distributed. There is a waiting. If you go on, if you're waiting, you want to get on as soon as you can.
The reason why I ask this is because I know someone who is a good listener on this program. I mean, I got a feeling he's listening.
Well,
he was told that they found a match. So he was ready, and then all of a sudden he got called and somebody else took it.
Okay, that was probably a non-directed donation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, UNOS has very specific rules about that. That's nothing that we have control over.
Oh, I see.
But if you have a donor, if you can find a family member or a friend or somebody in your restaurant that serves you lunch that wants to make that donation to you, then you would go in and you would get the donation. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people waiting for donations that they have to have a strict code on how they distribute those.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us this evening. Again, you didn't ask any questions. You didn't call on. But just in case you do have questions, we have the numbers here. And the contact also is Mr. Percy Hara. And I'm sure he's going to get it to the right people in any questions, right? Even not just for tonight, but even for next week. Even though it's nothing to do with Kidney Foundation, but probably if you remember and you will ask question, then I'm sure Percy will write it down and it's going to go to the right people to have that answer correctly.